Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Today is Tuesday, November. Sorry, I'm not in present time. Wait a minute, now I am. Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024. Happy New Year. Happy New Year 3 weeks late. I am so happy to be live with you today, to be back on the radio, to talk to Jay. I haven't talked to Jay in ages. The last show I did live was with Jay on November 28th, so almost 2 months ago. And honestly, I feel like I've lived a couple of lifetimes between then and now. And I'm so looking forward to sharing what I learned, because I learned a lot. And you know, the purpose of this show, my purpose, is to study, to learn, to live, to live and learn from life, and just prove, you know, and realize principles that I read about and that that I consider to be my foundation, and watch them prove themselves and then be able to share them with you. Because I can't share anything with you sincerely that I haven't lived or haven't realized or understood. So that's my purpose, and that's the purpose of this show. And it is empowerment, to give, to serve, to uplift and inspire. So I am so happy that you're joining me today, no matter how you do that, or even if it's not today. I'm so happy that you're here listening, no matter how you do that. If you happen to be listening live, please join us in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. I invite your comments and questions about today's topic. I have quite a lot to talk about, so I doubt that I would get to readings today, but if you have a question, you can put it in the chat room and I will answer it thereafter. If you want a reading or anything, or a healing or whatever, I'm on 12Listen every day. Back on 12Listen every day. Had some sporadic times over the past couple months, but I'm back to a normal schedule, and it just, that too feels good. You know, I get my healing by working, you know, by being of service, by helping. And, you know, when I was in at the Institute, that's what we were always reminded. We were reminded by our instructors that, you know, this is whatever you do in service, whatever type of service that you do, whatever, I mean, anything you do to help or to give in any way, you do for yourself. Reverend Dyke said, we only ever give to ourselves. And that's absolutely true. So when I'm working and talking to my clients and you know, in that space, that keeps me up and keeps me afloat, and is incredibly healing to me, because it is movement of energy, you know, giving and receiving, being in that inlet and outlet of supply, of healing, of divine wisdom, of grace. Grace, which is divine wisdom and all that it encompasses, divine love and all that it encompasses, and supply, divine supply, what is needed as it's needed by whoever I encounter and myself. And it's a circle. And that's a circle that we all have, that we all have, that we can all nurture, that we can all invest in. And, you know, just starting the day by declaring yourself in, you know, as the inlet and outlet of God's grace. Watch what happens. Wonderful things happen. To just have that as your intention during the day, it's amazing. It really is. And I'm not being fluffy. I'm telling you the truth. But you can find me on 12Listen every day. I am typically available mid to later morning, because I'm still getting a lot of stuff done in the mornings, even though, you know, I'm not sending Shannon off to dialysis or taking care of him. There's still things that are being wrapped up for him and for my mother as well. So still, you know, mid to later morning, usually by 11:30 or so, 10:30 Pacific time, and then into the evening. But if you happen to stop by and you don't see me, or if I'm busy, just schedule a call or put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately via text and will respond as soon as I can. And I'll always do my best to meet your schedule. Also, just wanted to remind you that We do have reduced rates on calls and chats a few days a week. This week, we'll be celebrating the full moon on Thursday, and I will have a special time-based session for the full moon at a really good price for the day. I'll be available that day too, about 10:30 a.m. Pacific into the evening, and I would love to talk to you. And that's just an extra day this week that we have reduced rates. So if you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And all that entails is that you leave your email address. Then you're notified. I have right now a Clear for the New Year 15-minute time-based session, and that's available through the end of this month. And then we'll move on into February and have a time-based session about being available for love, which is something we all would benefit from, I think. So anyway, this is just about meeting the new year clear and on purpose and releasing limiting beliefs and energy to facilitate a powerful expression in 2024, to own the year rather than have it own you. So it's a good session. Also want to remind you of the gratitude board, which is a wonderful tool. You can post anonymously, just put what you're grateful for, whether it's in your experience or not, something you're looking to bring in. You post as if it is here, because it is. It is. It may not be physically here, but Michael Tamura said, when you have a desire for something, that desire is a hello from the universe, that you have that within you to bring forward. If you didn't, you wouldn't even have the consciousness for it. You couldn't. We can only have what we have the consciousness for. So once we decide there's something that we want to have in our lives, gratitude is a great way to affirm that it's there. But our work is to then basically get out of the way so it can come forward. And that's just practice and work and building that consciousness for the thing that you desire, not as a desire, but as an actual fact in your experience. So the gratitude board is great because the advisors at 12 Listen all add our intention to yours. And that just gives it even more power. I just want to say thanks again for listening, however and whenever you do. 12 Radio is a great way to stay inspired. We have new shows, and some of them have changed. So we're ready to start this year with a bang. So, you can find archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. And you can just go grab one anytime you need a little lift or if you want to learn something new. So don't forget about that. It's a great way for us to support you. And I just want to say thanks to Jay. I feel like I'm speed talking. I really am. Obviously excited to be back. But I want to say thanks to Jay for all that he does for me and for 12 Radio. And let's shift into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Daydreamed by David and Steve Gordon. This is from the Groove Tribe CD, if I can talk, and Sequoia Records. So enjoy it, and I will be back right after. Thank you for joining me. You are listening to Empowerment. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I thought it was a pretty cool piece of music from David and Steve Gordon. The topic of the show today, I guess, or the underlying message of the show today is God is, capital IS, always. And the more you depend on that, the easier life is. And it was kind of interesting. I knew what I wanted to talk about today, but I went back and I looked at my notes from the show that Jay and I did together on November 28th and realized how well what we talked about served me over the following 2 months and still serve me. So I want to start with a little review of what we discussed, kind of just bullet points. You know, at that time, many things in my life were in flux, and major changes occurred over 2023. When I look back on it, it was just kind of an unbelievable year. But they did, and you know, they continue to occur, even though now I'm in a much, much different place. Back then, you know, when things are up in the air, the main difficulty, you might say, is being grounded, having a foundation. When they, you know, it's and the words come into my ear, God is not in the whirlwind. God is in the still small voice. So the challenge when things are in flux and when things are in the air and things are coming at you left and right is to get to that still small voice and to realize that whatever is going on around you is going on around you. But there's an anchor, there's a foundation that is instantaneously accessible just by going within. You know, and I know that I'm not the only one who you know, had major things happening. I know Jay has and does now. But I don't want to talk about difficulty. I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to tell the true story about what happened over the past couple months. But it's not about difficulty. You know, it's about finding our footing and maintaining our foundation while we navigate stormy seas, because life is stormy seas, not always, but at times. And, you know, not only can we navigate stormy seas, but after there have been so many stormy seas, it's hard to be comfortable, you know? It's hard to just be okay, to not have a ton of demands hitting you at one time. It's a strange, strange thing. It's kind of like PTSD, I think. But that's also something, you know, getting used to calm after stormy seas. So anyway, what we talked about, and I'm just going to kind of do bullet points and then get to current time, but you know, whenever things are happening, one of the first and most important things to do is to own it, take responsibility for it. Nothing is ever sitting in your lap that is someone else's responsibility. If it's in your lap, if it's in your experience, take responsibility for it. Don't blame anybody for it. Don't you know, say it shouldn't be happening. Obviously, it's happening. So stop fighting that. Stop struggling against it. Just own it. Okay, I don't know why this is in my lap. I don't know how I agreed to it, but I did. And keep in mind, too, it's not you saying, well, you know, I think this is a bad thing and I want to experience it. It's not that. It's that we are constantly and continuously navigating the human race mind, the thought atmosphere that is filled with everyone who has ever been on this planet's thoughts, fears, joys. It runs the gambit from what we would call bad to what we call good. And that's just part of what's the atmosphere. It's the psychic sea. And so we have to take care of ourselves. We have to realize that our foundation is within, and that we honestly cannot look to anything outside of us for our good. We can't. We can't. The more we depend on anyone or anything in the material world, the more disappointed we are going to be, because people are people. They are human, and they disappoint us. We change. You know that. I mean, we know that for ourselves. But you know, whatever is in your experience, own it. Look it in the eye. See it for what it is, so that you can become neutral to it, so that you can see it as a thing that is happening. And then, you know, take responsibility for it and own your feelings about it. Don't push them away. Don't tell yourself you should feel differently. Don't get lost in them, but have them. Have them so that they can keep moving. Next, realize that you can't solve your problems or anyone else's. I was listening to recently a Joel Goldsmith tape. I can't remember what the name of it was, but he said, stop trying to solve your problems because you can't solve your problems. And you can't. You know, the more, because the more you work on something, you're limiting it, right? Okay, this is, again, this is a thing that's happening. This is a problem. This is something I would really rather not be involved in or working on at this point. Give it away. Give it away. I can't, I don't know. I don't know where the three most powerful words you can speak. I don't know. Therefore, if I can't solve my own problems, I can't solve anyone else's, and I'm infringing if I try. Thirdly, realize you cannot make everyone happy, especially when major things are going on. You can't. And if you're trying to navigate everyone else's feelings as well as your own and try to, you know, try to keep other people happy, you dissipate your energy, and you can't do it. Happiness is an inside job. It's an inside job. It's up to everyone to deal with whatever it is that's going on. You can love them, you can support them, but you can't make them happy. And the bottom line to that is you're not a failure if they're not happy. That's what I want to say. Next is just make peace with all of what I've just said. Make peace with it. It is what it is. It is what it is. Don't strive to meet other people's expectations. That's another one. That's another one. You know, when we do that, you know, there's a line in the Tao that says, it's one of my favorite, it's one of my favorite verses, and I don't know if I can give you the whole thing, but I'm going to try. It's fill your bowl to the brim and it will spill. Oversharpen a knife and it will blunt. Chase after money and security, and your heart will never unclench. Care about other people's opinions, and you'll be their prisoners. So do your work and walk away. The only path to serenity. And that was kind of not verbatim, but that's the whole thing. You know, we keep doing things. We keep doing things, trying to make things better, better, better. And all we get is frustrated. And we can't meet other people's expectations. All we can do is be the best we can be and work, live and work with integrity. The next one is don't take their opinions personally, because opinions are not truth, just like beliefs are not truth. And they're not personal. Everyone is showing us who they are. We are showing everyone who we are. Opinions are just part of ego. You know, it's part of our experience, and we want to superimpose them on other people, or other people want to superimpose them on us. They're not personal. They're not personal. Next, rely on your guidance system. Follow your gut, your intuition. Rely on that. The more you depend on it, the more you get. The more certain you get about it, the more you depend on it. So rely on your guidance system. It doesn't fail. It's happening constantly. We're being supported. We're being supported constantly by spirit, because spirit is us. You know, the thing that lives me is God. The things that lives you is God. Do your best. Do your best, but have boundaries. Have boundaries. You know, know that you've done your best and walk away. Do your work and walk away. The only path to serenity. And revisit what inspired you in the past. You know, on that show, I shared the peace meditation by Ernest Holmes. And the most interesting thing happened after I shared that, because it was something that really, truly inspired me in the past. I've used it every day. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Next, use what makes you happy to take care of yourself. You know, rest, take long hot showers, sleep in a little when you can. You know, have a glass of wine or have some chocolate or ice cream, or turn on music that you love and get lost in it, or a good movie, whatever it is, do that for yourself. And do it for yourself as a gift, because it would be something that you would do for someone else, right? Be able to receive that. Be able to receive gifts that you give yourself. Sometimes that's a very difficult thing to do. Next, live inward. Get replenishment through meditation and practicing the presence of God. That's the only place we find peace, the only place we get fed, the only place. The infinite self meets every demand if you depend on it. The infinite self, the God mind, the Father, the Christ, whatever you want to call it, Brahman, Atman, the Tao, meets every demand if we depend on it. It is the thing that lives us. The self of me lives me. So I can get my human mind, restricted and small and intense as it is, out of the way. Miracles happen, you know, and you depend on it by sacrificing or surrendering everything, everything, every problem, every feeling, every thought, every joy, and most of all suffering. Everything. You just give it back. Give it back to the void, or to Brahman, or the divine ground, which I would call the Father, if you're talking in Christian terms. And then relinquish all power, control, and responsibility for whatever is going on in your life to the infinite God mind. Again, that meets every demand. As I said a minute ago, I don't know are the three most powerful, burden-lifting words you can possibly say. I don't know how to live this day. I don't know how to deal with this problem. I don't know who to talk to. I don't know how to get through this. I don't know what the steps are. I don't know why I feel this way. I don't know. I don't know. And I'm telling you that over the past year, no matter how crazy and difficult it was, pardon me, because it was fraught with challenges, as far as I was concerned anyway, I was met by source in every situation. I just, you know, it truly does meet every demand. But the one of the most giant bright spots of 2023 was Alan Watts. Alan Watts for me, and Alan Watts' teachings, because those are the ones that I depended on through, you know, once I learned them. That the and the sacrificing, that was Ram Dass. I'd never listened to Ram Dass before, but giving everything away. You know, Florence Scovel Shinn in The Game of Life and How to Play It says man was never meant to carry burdens. Trying to solve problems is what U.S. Anderson calls vanity. It's vanity. It's ego thinking, well, I can take care of this. I can solve this. I know how to do this. Well, guess what? By just saying, I don't know how to do this, poof, things happen. And I mean, things happen. And the first thing that happens is a major weight drops off my back. The minute I say that, my energy changes. It shifts. And it's like ease takes over. You know, that's a healing. That's a healing. When energy shifts, when your energy shifts, that's a healing. It shifts from a tense space or a struggle space to a calm space. That's healing. That's healing. Take it and run. And when there's a method that's as easy as this, you know, I don't know, but God does. I don't know is surrender. That's what it is. Detachment, getting out of the way, being the neutral observer rather than, you know, caught up in the emotion of a situation. You don't get anywhere. When you're caught up in emotion, basically that emotion, that is the whirlwind. You know, that is the whirlwind. That's only going to expand. So being able to step out of that, you know, use the support that we have. I don't know, is great support. So Jay and I did that show. And I wanted to review that because as I said, over the 2 months that followed that show, every demand was met by spirit. Every demand. Because I was in uncharted waters. But that show we did on the 28th, and the day after, November 29th, my mom passed away. She'd come home for hospice on Monday the 27th and was complete and done with that on the 29th. And it was an incredible experience because my brother and my uncle and my aunt were all there. It was cute on the 28th. She came home on the 27th. I was there. I met the hospice people, Brighton Hospice, which I cannot say enough good things about. When the nurse was there talking to her and letting her know how things would go. And on the 28th, right after I hung up from my show with Jay, I had a text from my sister-in-law saying that the caregiver, I'm here with the caregiver, and she thinks your mother is transitioning. So I went over and I left right away and I spent all afternoon and evening. I got home about 10, I think, that night with her. And she wanted everybody to be together so that she could say what she had to say to us. My mother was so organized, I'm telling you. Her will and her, I mean, she had everything in there. What, where, her account numbers, phone numbers, I mean, just everything. She just did a lovely job. But anyway, and Jared and Kristen were on their way back to Illinois, and he pulled over to the side of the road, so we all got to talk. And she said, before she had come home, she was at a rehabilitation center, and she just wanted to get home. And she was able to have Thanksgiving with us for an hour. She was there for about an hour, and then was worn out and went back. But Thanksgiving Day, I was there to see her, and she was out doing exercises with the PT in the kind of the great room of the rehab center she was in. And then on Friday, she had a treatment, and she went home on Monday. She decided, I'm going home. I want to go home. I'm going home to hospice. I will not go back to another hospital. I won't do it. And so when she got home on Monday, she had kind of a rumbly cough, which was strange. I mean, none of us had heard that before. And it just got progressively worse over the next couple of days. So when we were all gathered together on the 28th, and she was just telling us that she loved us, basically. And then we got done, hung up the phone. She was sitting there and she goes, "All right, I'm ready. I'm ready to go." And I went, "Okay." And she sat there, and you know, the cough was a little worse that day. And we sat and we talked, and she said, "I can't figure it out. I don't think there's anybody else I have to talk to. There's nobody else I have to say something to. I'm ready. I'm ready to go." So it was just kind of funny. My mom's a very independent woman, you know, and a powerful, strong person. So anyway, I stayed with her till that night, and I went home. And the next day, she had, oh gosh, just a string of visits from hospice, from like the social worker, the chaplain, and the nurses and stuff. And that kind of went on all day. And She had made a big shift that day on the 29th. And so I got there probably because she just had all these appointments. I got there about 5 o'clock in the afternoon and stayed. I left at 2, but it was just right before 10 o'clock she passed. And it was my brother and I and my uncle who were sitting with her. My poor aunt had been up for 48 hours and went to lay down for a while because the night before she was up all night because my mother was talking to people, getting ready, getting her team ready. But we sat with her, my brother and I and my uncle, and I got to hold her hand and watching her leave. I saw the moment that that happened, and I wouldn't have missed that for the world. It was honestly one of the most beautiful and powerful things I've ever seen. And once that happened, even though there was still a little bit of movement in her physical body, it was blatantly obvious that she was gone. And that's the thing that I find so incredible. It happened when Channon's son passed away a couple years ago, and they were trying to keep him alive and they were trying to revive him, and he was all hooked up to machines and stuff. And I went with Channon to the hospital and I looked at him and I went, Adam's gone. And I didn't say it like that to Channon. I was gentler than that, but he was gone. And it was blatantly obvious. He was not occupying that house, And seeing that with my mom too, it just affirmed to me in such a powerful way that this body is just our house. It's the vehicle of the infinite, the eternal self, the Lord of love, the Lord of light. And that is such a profound thing. There is no doubt about that, that that body is not this body, is not me, and her body was not her. Pardon me, but of course, after she passed, we were sad, but more than sad, so relieved, because she couldn't breathe. She had a it was not pleasant until she finally was able to just let go. It was tough. It was a tough night. but we were very relieved that her suffering was over and joyful, actually. Absolutely joyful that her suffering was over. But during that week, Channon was moved to a different rehab center. So she passed on Wednesday and he was moved to a different rehab center on Thursday, a better, much better rehab center. After having had surgery on his elbow because he had a deep infection in his joint. So they moved him to the rehab center. And at that point, he'd been in hospitals and centers for 2 months. For 2 months. That was like the 1st of December, and he was admitted to the hospital on October 4th, one of the hospitals. And the reason why he was because he'd had one setback after another. And rehab centers are like, okay, you have a surgery or you have an injury, and we get you back to where you were before that injury happened or before that surgery happened. Well, he couldn't come back. He just couldn't, because he had declined substantially, and he'd been in a substantial decline for the whole year, really. But those 2 months just honestly took it out of him. It just took it out of him, and he just couldn't rebound. Couldn't rebound. He said at one point, we were meeting with the hospice representative and the social worker from the center, and he said, I had PT today, and I am so sorry. He said, I got up and I fumbled my way about 3 feet down the hallway trying to walk. And he said, that was all I could do. And all I do is spend my time trying to recover from dialysis, because dialysis was just taking it out of him. It messed with his mind. He was very confused, and he was just wiped out. And it used to be, the first couple of years of dialysis, I think he was on it actually 3 years, which is a long time. He would, he went Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Well, then Tuesday, Thursday, and the weekend, he got his strength back. So he could go, he'd go to dialysis and it would wipe him out for that day, but then he could get his strength back because he was off a day. That wasn't happening anymore, and it hadn't been happening for a long time. So I talked to Brighton Hospice, and we met and we talked to him, and the criteria for coming home, because there was no way he could come home unless we had nursing care. And that isn't a very expensive thing that, still wouldn't have helped him. I mean, he was truly, there was no getting better, no getting better, not even a little, at this point. So we talked to him, and he had to discontinue dialysis to come home for hospice. And after we had this conversation in which he was very, very honest and said he didn't have any quality of life, he agreed. He agreed. And before then, he didn't want to discontinue dialysis because he thought that was giving up. And really, he was afraid to die. And he was afraid it was going to be a horrible suffering if he stopped dialysis. That was really the bottom line. But when we talked, and the hospice representative said, her name was Sunny, she's a lovely lady, she said, no, whatever you need, we will do for you. It's all about your comfort. So if you're not feeling well, we'll have a nurse there 24/7, anytime. You'll have what you need. So when he understood that it wouldn't be horrific, he couldn't wait to get home. He made the decision, and then he kept calling me, making sure that everything was in the works. He made the decision on Thursday. He got home on December 19th, the following Tuesday. Hospice had set up, I set up his office as a bedroom. Hospice brought in a hospital bed and all the supplies and meds that he would need. I made the room as cozy and nice as I could with pictures of his kids and just a comfortable space for him. And he passed away exactly a week later on December 26th. And I can honestly tell you that I don't think the last week of his life could have been any better. He was, it was just fantastic. And to kind of give you a background, Channon was instrumental in building the first synagogue in Jefferson County in the 1990s. And during the time that he was in the hospitals and rehab centers, he was visited by a rabbi that I found from Jewish Family Services, Rabbi Rick Brody. And the rabbi probably visited him four times over the course of 2 months, and spent at times, a couple of times, spent like 90 minutes talking, because Channon is brilliant. I mean, he's very smart. He's got lots of great stories, and they had a wonderful time together. And he was always so happy and uplifted after their conversations. And I think Rabbi Rick was instrumental in Channon accepting, where he was in his life at the end of his life. And when Channon came home, the rabbi came and did an end of life ritual with us, which was absolutely beautiful. He spent about 2 hours, and it was a personal Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the Jewish holiday, the Day of Atonement, or the Jewish holy day, I should say. And Rick led Channon through prayers and chanting, and told him that this was the Day of Atonement. Doesn't mean thinking about things that you think you did wrong, getting rid of those things, but letting go of burdens, anything that he was carrying, anything that he felt was unfinished business, to look forward to being free of the prison of his body and returning to the eternal. And it, by the time he'd finished, the whole room, in fact, the whole house, was just filled filled with peace. It was beautiful. I mean, it was just, it was incredible. And the look on Shannon's face was priceless because he was at peace. I think that was a fabulous part of his transition, so to speak. It was a threshold for him. And I know I slept better that night than I'd slept in months. And it was just a huge blessing. But during one of the prior visits, Shannon told Rabbi Rick that he would like to reconnect with some of the people from the synagogue. So the rabbi contacted the rabbi at Beth Evergreen, and he sent out an email saying that Shannon was in hospice. And I was included in that email stream, and I received the most unbelievable responses from people saying how important he had been to them and what a wonderful guy he was, what a funny guy he was, and was and still is, and I'll tell you about that. And some of them called me, some came to visit, and these were people he had not seen in over 20 years. It was incredible. It was incredible. They were wonderful. And the majority of people at his funeral were from Beth Evergreen. And during that week, some of my cousins came from the mountains. My aunt and uncle and their daughters came, and his brother and sister came in for the weekend, and we spent Saturday. They spent Saturday eating Christmas cookies, and we all spent Saturday watching Christmas specials like Charlie Brown Christmas from when we were kids and movies that we watched as kids. And it was great. We did that all day. We, had dinner, and it was a wonderful, wonderful day. They came in on Friday. They spent Friday afternoon and evening, and then all day Saturday with us and left on Sunday. And Anna, Channon's daughter, facilitated a call with his sister, his other sister, in Israel. And they spoke for over 40 minutes. So, all of this was kind of part of letting go of burdens, unfinished business. He and his sister in Israel, Daphna, had kept in touch over the years, but it was very superficial. I mean, they were split up when they were babies. He was foreign, she was, I don't know, she was a baby. So this was a real conversation and just a blessing, just a blessing. His friends came and came to visit two or three times that week, and it was just wonderful. Just the reconnections that he had facilitated were really important. And of course, his kids were there, and Anna said that every time she came to see him, he was singing My Way by Frank Sinatra, which is funny. But up until the end, the last night, my brother and sister-in-law and my niece and her husband came on Christmas night and brought some food. And up until the end, he had visitors every day, and that made him very happy. And he said so. He told everybody he was happy, and that was unsolicited, so that was great. And I know I'm in the last few minutes, but I have to tell you a funny story, or a couple. Channon had a great sense of humor and a wicked wit, and he always had a comeback. He always found the joke in whatever situation he was in. And humor is very healing. And several things happened that I know he had a hand in. He died on Tuesday. His funeral was on Friday. And just due to custom and the Jewish the cemetery being a Jewish cemetery, the mortuary as well, he had to be buried before the service, because it just worked out that way. So the rabbi wanted us to be there at 12:45. So the cemetery service was at 1. Everybody got lost on the way, which was kind of funny. And when we got there, the rabbi wasn't there. And it turns out that he'd actually had a car accident. And there's a little giggle in my voice. He was not hurt. His car was hurt, but he was not hurt. And it happened only 5 minutes away from the cemetery. So one of the reps from the funeral home went and picked him up and brought him. And, when we found that out, I looked at Anna and I went, your dad's had a hand in this. I mean, that's like a joke, right? On the way to a funeral, a rabbi gets in a car accident. Fill in the blanks. I mean, it sounds like it's like the great beginning of a joke. So I know he was laughing about that. The other thing that I find amusing is that he was buried in section 7, row 7, and plot 7 of Emmanuel Cemetery. Now, He hasn't for years, but he used to love to play blackjack, and he was actually really good at it. And so, 21, blackjack. And then the last thing he did, which was really sweet, is Anna. I was asking, Anna and I were texting, and she goes, "I've been dreaming about Dad." But she said, "On New Year's Eve, I had a very vivid dream. He was up, he wasn't sick, he was happy. And he looked at me and he said, 'Kelly didn't get enough Christmas presents, so I want you to buy her jewelry.'" And she said he was absolutely adamant. And so she said, "Be expecting a present in the mail in a few days." And she bought me just these beautiful brass earrings. I love brass, these stamped brass earrings, which were just perfect. But the other thing that's kind of funny is when I kind of tucked him in on Christmas night and told him I loved him. And the next morning when I went in, he was gone. But somehow during the night, he put his glasses on and he had the most peaceful look on his face. And I told Anna that. And she goes, "Well, maybe he wanted to be sure he could see the light." But there's still just things that are so funny about him that it's just him. It's him. He left his body, but he's still here. And it was great. And there's a lot more that happened during those 2 months, and maybe I'll share a little more of it next week. But I just wanted to tell this story once because it's a story of miracles, and it's a story of, oh, I got to the end and now I'm going to cry. It's a story of constant and continuous support. If you truly depend on spirit, your needs are met. That's it. That's it. Everything I needed, I had, to include the ability to care for Chan in the last week of his life. Things I never thought I could do, I did, because I had to. And when I accepted that, God took over. And on that note, thanks for joining me today. You've been listening to Empowerment. Oh, sorry. I wish you a very blessed week. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. We've been here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that we relate to the world, because indeed we do create it. Our world is us pushed outward. Thanks, everyone. God bless.